Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, for your disciples, the apostles, who were faithful, who returned to Jerusalem, and who were faithful in praying and who were faithful in fulfilling your command. And Lord, as we prepare between the time of ascension, which happened this last Thursday, and the Feast of Pentecost, which is coming next Sunday, we pray, Lord, that we would wait upon you, that we would pray and trust in your order of things, that you know what's best for us. So Lord, help us as we hear your word today. May it touch our hearts and may it change our lives. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It's almost afternoon, you know. Yeah. Let me introduce myself. My name in Greek is Matthias. In Hebrew, it is Matanayu. And I thought it was important that I speak to you today because I heard Pastor Brian make fun of me because I only appear once in Scripture and they cast lots to pick me, and then you don't hear anything about me from then on. And I thought that was a little unfair. So I would like to share with you the background to what happened in what you call the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, with the choosing of me as the 12th to replace Judas. First of all, I think sometimes we're a little hard on the apostles, aren't we? Some people make fun of me because they say, well, you were the only one that wasn't chosen by Jesus. You got chosen by Lot. Not the guy Lot, but by dice. They say, maybe that's why we never hear of you again, because really, it should have been Paul, you know, Saul of Tarsus, because he got called by Jesus. So some people say I was just a temporary replacement until Paul showed up. But I want to go back to explain what's happening with Peter, James, John, and all 120 of us, because I was known as one of the 70. I was faithful. I went out. I cast out demons. I saw Satan fall from the sky. I rejoiced in the power of God and the power of the Christ. But I want to ask you the question, have you ever thought what it was like for us? I don't know if you've experienced loss in your life, but I got to tell you, when you experience loss, people cope with loss in different ways, don't they? I mean, just think about it. On the great and glorious triumphal entry day, which you guys call Palm Sunday, just because we used palms. I mean, really. Couldn't come up with more than imaginative. Anyways, well, not going to digress. But on that day, we thought, finally, we're going to get what we've been waiting for. The Messiah, the promised one, the one that Peter confessed was the Christ, he was going to do what he promised. We could see all these people declaring who he was, and we thought, this is going to be great. Jerusalem is going to be back to where it's supposed to be. It'll be the pinnacle of the world. He'll bring peace and prosperity. Everything will be wonderful. We will have everything we ever desired. And within 1 week, not even 1 week, actually, how many days? Let's see. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 5 days. Within 5 days, you went from being enthusiastic and excited to being at the bottom as Judas betrayed our master and he was taken away. Now, some people say, well, you knew, didn't you? Didn't he tell you that he was going to be turned over to the scribes and to the teachers of the law? Didn't he tell you that? Haven't you read that? But haven't you ever in your life heard something yet you really didn't want to believe it was true? Yeah, it's easy when you believe something to be true to disregard things that don't fit into your plan. So don't be too hard on us. We had the same problem. It didn't fit into our plan. And on Monday, Thursday, you guys call it Monday, Thursday, right? Mandate. Love one another as I have loved you, right? Everything changed. And we saw him on the cross. We saw him say, "It is finished." We saw heaven respond. We saw the earth shake. We heard the temple curtain torn in two. We saw all of creation grieve as we grieved. But you want to talk about having your emotions twisted. Pastor Brian was telling me that in his family, they've been going through this kind of up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. It's kind of like a yo-yo of emotion. Well, just think about us. Good Friday, Easter Sunday, morning to celebration. Want to talk about how difficult that can be on a person? Then on the evening of the resurrection day, Jesus appears to us. He breathes on us his Holy Spirit and says, if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not, they're not forgiven. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And then he appears to us over and over again, even up to 500 of us. And we're excited because he's alive and well. He even told Thomas, put your finger here. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. I mean, can you imagine what that was like? From grieving to complete euphoria and celebration. It's like going up one of, what do you call those things nowadays? Those things that I heard somebody talking about it. Roller coaster. You ever experienced a roller coaster? What happens when you get to the height and then you start going down? Is it scary? I want you to think about this. We get 40 days with the risen Christ, with our master, and then he gets up and leaves. Literally, gets up and leaves. Didn't we just go through this? Grieving, mourning, to celebration. Grieving again. He leaves. An angel has to come and tell us, as he went, he's going to come back. Well, whoopee. I mean, just think about it. 40 days we had with him. And now he's gone. And furthermore, he tells us to go back to Jerusalem and wait. How do you deal with loss? I've known many different people over my lifetime. Pastor Brian and I were talking about this, and everybody deals with loss differently, right? Some people lock themselves up in a room and cry for days. Other people, they go out and they spend a lot of time with other people because they get energized by being around people. Some people go to Netflix. This is a really neat thing you guys got here called Netflix. And watch whole seasons of their best shows. I mean, people deal with grief in so many different ways, don't they? Well, I have to tell you something about Peter. Peter was an organizer. Any of you ever experienced organizers? Some of you? When they get stressed or when they get going through a period of loss, they clean. They set things in place. They organize things. They make other people crazy. No? You don't have experience this? There are people that just have to have things in order. So we were told, go back and wait. Well, the Bible doesn't really do it justice because Luke is really nice. But the fact is, Peter wanted to get things organized. And so he said, we only have 11. And we got to have, what? 12, because that's the number of completeness. 12 tribes. Jesus picked 12 apostles. See the picture here? He could not have this disorganization. And so therefore, you get me. So I got one question as I leave you today. Is what if you were me? What if you only showed up for one little glimpse of time in the church? And all that you did, because I did do a lot. Matter of fact, if you look at the church historians, they all kind of are divided about where I ended up, but I ended up in Ethiopia. And God used me in a powerful way. There's a Coptic church because of the ministry that I had, the ministry of of Philip's eunuch, remember that he baptized? I mean, God used me. I also did ministry in other areas, but I died in about 80, in the year of our Lord, 80. But there's not much said about me, and yet I often heard that the definition of character is that you do the same things you do in front of people when they're watching that you do when you're alone. And I would like to ask you, are you a Matthias? Because this is what I hope to be remembered for. I may not have got a lot of play. I certainly wasn't on the big board. I didn't even show up on the sign. I didn't have my own dressing room. I didn't make it from a worldly sense, but I would like to ask you, would you be willing to do what I did? And even for that short period of time, serve the Lord, even if you don't get remembered? Even if nobody knows what you did except Jesus? Would you still do the same things? Would you still live the same life? If you weren't going to remember like Paul, I have to say, you guys overdo it with him, just so you know. That's okay. No regrets here. Or John, or Peter, or even James. James! Jesus' brother. I mean, if you weren't one of the headliners, would you still do the same things? Would you still live the same life? Would you still serve the Lord no matter what and walk in that identity that you have as God's children? I hope so. I hope that you think about Matthias every time you read that Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 and you think about this. You say, I'm going to be like Matthias. Even if I never get mentioned again, I'm still going to serve the Lord no matter what. I'm still going to die for my faith, and I'm still going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. No matter if anybody remembers, no matter if anybody writes it down, no matter what happens, I'm going to do what the Lord has called me to do because I ultimately answer to Him. And He's got great plans for me. Amen? May you be like Matthias. Faithful. True. A person of character. Someone who is willing to go to what they nicely call, historically, meat eaters, which is a nice word for cannibals. To go to people who are not nice, who are not politically correct, who will not be exactly receptive to what you have to say, and yet do it because of Jesus Christ, because of who you are as His children, and because you're kingdom people who walk in His authority and with His power and have and know that He has great things in store for each and every one of you. I hope you never look at Matthias the same way again. Amen. Okay.